this year, for the first few Sundays, when I get back, I am going away just for a couple of weeks with my wife on holiday and just have a break, and then I'll be back in the later part of this month. But we're going to talk about experiencing grace. How many of you remember when you first didn't know how to drive a car? How many of you remember that? When you didn't know how to drive a car? Only a few? You didn't know how to drive a car. Yeah? Then how did you feel when you sat the exam and you passed? You know, you sit the little test, and then you went for your first driver's license. Were you a bit first practice at the wheel? Were you a little bit nervous? Yeah? Yeah. I was 15 when I got my license, and I was almost midget size. I still hadn't grown from the age of 9. I stayed the same till I was 15. And I had to sort of try and push myself up in the seat to look over the bonnet, you know. And I was using the clutch instead of the brake, and it was a shocker. There was no automatic, and it was really bad. I think I nearly, you know, wet my pants, actually, to be quite honest. It was just a really anxious time for me. That's why I remember it. But do you know what? A few months later, I qualified for my license, and, you know, I really enjoyed the experience of going off somewhere instead of having to, you know, ride my horse or whatever. Now, last night it was getting late, and my wife said to me, she wanted to go swimming. So we have a friend, I think, who's coming to Linda's house tonight. She's a lovely dear friend, and she's got the most magnificent pool. So Diane said, "Do you want to come?" I said, "Oh no, I was watching the Big Bash." I said, I'll just watch the Big Bash, the cricket." But and I was, you know, sending some messages. But Diane went, and she said it was magnificent. But what was the temperature of the water? The temperature of the water was 32, you know. So she said, and it's a magnificent pool, but when she got out, you know, and she came home and she said, "Wow, it's so hot, you know, it's so hot." But why I'm saying that is, you know, how many of you enjoyed the experience, though, of going for a swim when it's hot? You know, it's so beautiful, isn't it? Well, do you know, my message to you these next few months, just the first few couple of months, is, you know, experiencing grace. Because you might know how to drive a car, you've passed it. You might know about grace, but have you really experienced it like it's meant to be experienced? And I want to encourage you how to get in there and experience grace. For me, my life has changed around. I was not a grace preacher. You know, when that guy sent me the letter, I am. But, you know, when I taught him, I wasn't. I was works and so was he. And we had 5 Bible schools up in Asia. And it took, you know, it was an experience with God for 4 months where I just cried every day when I read Unmerited Favor. And I began to experience, and, you know, daily now I see little things, sometimes big things, you know, I experience his unmerited favor to me. And this is something I'd love to talk about how we all can experience. And my heart's desire that in 2017 will be the best year of my life. And my desire as I help you and help you is this. As I help you, I want to help you make 2017 the best year of your life. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand for that, because it's actually not my help, because it's God that does it. Amen? All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, so we're going to have a... Thank you. We're going to have a look at this. And in Luke 4:19, when the first recorded sermon of Jesus on your slide one, and he read from Isaiah 61, there wasn't New Testament then, and in Luke 4:19, he read the last part of Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And the last part said, "To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord." Now that year can be day or time. Probably it's best in English put, the acceptable time of the Lord. And that word time is dektos. Acceptable. The word acceptable means dektos. It's not in your notes. D-E-K-T-O-S. It literally means a time of great favor for you and me personally. That's what it means. Jesus inaugurated when he preached his first little sermon. He actually was a Jubilee, the Feast of Jubilee lexicon reading. And he actually was talking about us. Look, he was talking about us experiencing favor, unmerited favor in our life. Can you say amen to that? Okay, let's take the next one. See what we got here. Now, in 2 Corinthians 6, 2b, Paul wrote this, and this is a little time afterwards, about AD 56, and he is writing to the Corinthian church. Second, it's about 1 year after the First Corinthians was written, and he's writing from somewhere in Galatia. There, I think it was Philippi. Actually, he wrote the second letter. First letter, he was in Ephesus, and he says, "Behold, now," everyone say now. "Now is truly the time for a gracious welcome and acceptance of you from God. Behold, now is the day," he repeats it, see, "now is the day of salvation." Now, I was brought up to believe, everyone. I was brought up in a Brethren church, and I really enjoyed that upbringing and the teaching of the Bible. But I was taught that salvation was like getting my ticket to heaven. Like I was to get saved. No one told me until I really came into the grace revolution, which is occurring in the earth now, and that's why our church is a grace church. No one told me that the word salvation, okay, actually, let's go to the next slide. The word salvation actually means all the blessings of God bestowed upon you, physically, mentally, financially, relationship-wise. Every blessing of God is available to you through the work of Christ. Isn't that exciting? Shall we give him a clap for that? That's what salvation. I was talking to a retired man who was in high school with me in one of our trips to New Zealand recently, and he said to me, "Percy," he said, "what is the Greek word for salvation?" And I said, "It's soteria." There it is there, look. And I said, "It's a noun. And the word saviour, you know, a saviour who is Christ the Lord," the angel said, "will be born." The word saviour comes from the same word, it's sota. Okay? And that's a noun. But the word to be saved is a Greek word, sozo. It means not just saved for heaven, it means saved, made well in every area of your life. It is actually the verb for the noun soteria. Sozo. Right, next one. So this excites me when I'm preaching to you because of what I'm saying, the subject of what I'm saying, the matter to which I'm addressing. It sort of means that all of us are to do well in life. Can I hear an amen? All of us are to have a successful life. Now, some Australians are a little bit scared and skeptical when a pastor would say, you know, when we come to Christ, we are to have a successful life. It's because they're not being taught that in seminary. The leaders of our churches have not been taught that salvation literally means that all the blessings that you will require to live successfully. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. So if you got saved, if you believed in Christ and received him into life, you got born again, you got saved. And it was by his grace. And grace starts then and it keeps on going through your life. If you understand that and you can experience it, it's really lovely. Look, we are saved by grace, but God, even when we were dead and our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated. Now, I'm just going to go to this last part here, everyone, the third to last line. What does it say? Read with me. 1, 2. Together? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works so that no one can boast. So it's not about how good we have done. It's about the good he has done at the cross. We can do as much as I like. But in actual fact, it's all been done for us to have success this year. Now, that is a wonderful message. It's almost too good to be true. You know, I would say, is it true that Jesus has won our complete success in this world. Yes, it's all there. And that's what he was announcing. The favor of God now would be made through him to all mankind. How good is that? So when we get afflicted in sickness, when we get afflicted in financial difficulties, when we get afflicted in bankruptcy or, you know, something like that, like if something happens and the money runs out, you know, hey, we rest in his work that he has done. He's even taken all our anxiety, so we don't need to be anxious. We sit at his feet and rest, thanking him actively for this wonderful success that he has given. And you know what I've found in the last 5 years or 6 years now that I've been in grace? I found his word to be amen, true and amen. And I just, even in our church, we have been so blessed in all our finances and in some of the wonderful testimonies coming on. Slide three. Now, the disciples experienced grace. Watch this. Watch this. Did they experience grace? Yeah? Now, so John wrote this. He was about 92 years old. It was about AD 90. And he said, "For out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received. All had a share, and we were all." Isn't that beautiful? We were all supplied. Can you agree with me? Look, one grace after. Now, in the Greek that it's written in, it means wave upon wave, blessing upon blessing. As one blessing finished, the next one arrived. Isn't that great? Give him a hand for that. It's fantastic. Next one, thank you. And then look at John 2:11. Just briefly, I'm just briefly pausing here. This was the first, we had his first message. Now look at the first of his signs. John, the old man, he writes about the first sign. There were seven wonderful signs of the thousands that he did. John chose seven. And a sign means it pointed to something. And what it did, it pointed that he really was God. You are Jesus, you are Lord, you are God. Amen? It pointed that he was able to bless no matter what the circumstance. All right? Now look at this. Let me just build the story very briefly. The wedding was planned for 14 days, and on about the seventh day, they ran out of wine. Everyone say, ran out of wine. And this meant that the marriage would be called off, because if he wasn't able to, the bridegroom, who was to be married but not yet married, if he wasn't able to provide, then the girl wouldn't smile at him. The courtship had been totally planned by the parents. They had not courted at all. They would be married and then caught. And if the girl didn't like and the family didn't like, they would convey to her, no, and she wouldn't smile to him. If she smiled or talked to him, that meant she agreed, I want to be married to you. But if she didn't, the wedding was called off. So if you ran out of wine, everybody, this was like perils, you know, like a very hysterical moment. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, the biological mother of Jesus, okay, but she was born a virgin conception. Mary goes straight to Jesus, her son, and says, they've run out of wine. And if you read it in your Bible, there's a great big exclamation mark. She was stressing because it seems like she was a close relative. And so Jesus would have been a close relative too. She was stressing. And Jesus says, what's that to you and me, woman? He says, what's that to you and me, woman? And people think, oh, he's being very rude to his mother. No, not at all. This was a Hebrew idiom. If someone asked you something and you said, oh, no worries, I'll help you or I can do it, that's exactly the same as, what is that to you and me? In Australia, you'd say, you're welcome. No worries, mate. No worries, mate. That's what you'd say in Aussie. That's exactly what that idiom was. You know, what is that to you and me? Leave it to me, he said. Then she turned to the servants and said, whatever he says to you, do it. So Jesus fills up, gets a servant to fill up all these water pots, which were for ceremonial cleansing, which speaks of the law. Six is the number of man. And Jesus turned what was law, six water pots filled with ceremonial water, which was the law to wash off any Gentile infection from people like us. Even if you walked in their footprints, you would be so-called infected by the Gentile dogs. So this was not washing your hands for a meal or washing your hands from the dust because they didn't have bitumen roads. This wasn't that. This was actually going through quite a long 15-minute ritual of washing your hands and feet in a special way. It was very laborious. But Jesus took that water, which was, you know, something that you should never do as a young rabbi, Orthodox rabbi. He took that water. Oh, goodness, the things are getting worse. The situation seemed to be getting worse. And he formed it into wine. Six stone water pots means man full of law. He turned it into wine. Now, the new covenant was started with blood. Wine speaks of blood. Wine speaks of joy. Right? The bread and the wine, the communion that we've had this morning. So he turned an amazing situation of stress into an amazing situation of joy. Now, how many want that type of grace to be upon you this year? Come on, how many want that? See, so that's what happened. And he said the new covenant. So he was transitioning their mindset from law, you've got to do it, into, hey, I'm going to do it for you at the cross. So his blood was shed at the cross. And for the joy set before him, he did that. All right, next slide. Isn't it exciting looking at the Bible? The New Testament church experienced great grace. They all did. Now, it wasn't just the disciples or the apostles. It was just everyday people like you and I that experienced it. What? The New Testament church experienced. Next one. Let's read together. Acts 4:33. 1, 2. And with great strength, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, loving kindness, and unmerited favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Now, what does richly mean? Abundantly. Now, how many of us this year want to make 2017 the best year of your life? The best year. That's what I pray. The best year of your life. Better than all the rest. Better than anyone. Anything that Tina Turner has sung. Okay? So, great grace. Say great grace with me. Great grace means more than just one episode or more than one thing. But it continued to roll in like waves upon these new Christians. Great power. Look, the New Testament church experienced great grace and great power. How many would like the power of God on you this year? Okay, nice breeze is coming in. I'm nearly there. Okay, next one. The psalmist tells us what to expect. Now I have to, again, I've got a few minutes and I have to tell you what this is about. Otherwise you would say, Percy, why are you going back to the Old Testament? Well, there's about five is the number of grace. There's about five triplets in the Bible. Now I'm not talking about biological babies. I'm talking about, like in the Psalms, there is Psalm 22, 23, 24, and it's actually like one poem. It's a triplet. Do you get it? There are three psalms written at the same time by David, and these psalms are David prophesying about Jesus. So Psalm 22 says this. Now this is about AD 1010, not AD, BC, sorry. BC, Psalm 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Who said those words? Jesus. And so all of Psalm 22, you'll find, as I've taught you last year, it's all about Jesus on the cross. There are other things in the psalm, but that's easy to see when you read that psalm. So then look at the last verse of that psalm. Look at the last verse now. Shall you read with me? They shall come and shall declare together. They shall come. Now, what was Jesus' last words on the cross? And in the Greek, it's the word telios. It literally means the work that I'm doing as our representative, you know, is when I've won it, the game's finished, it's over, you know, I've won the victor's crown for you. I like sport. Does anyone else here like sport? I think, Pete, you like sport, don't you? How many of us like sport in the congregation? There's about 7 or 8 of us. I don't mind what sport, I don't mind, but I like it, and I wished I'd been a bigger man so I could have played rugby union and things like that. I was just a pipsqueak. But why I'm telling you this is Jesus was our representative. Now, I see the Australian hockey team, I watched the Olympics as much as I could this last year, and I saw us, you know, we didn't win a lot of gold as Australians, but we did pretty good for a small population. And you know, I saw that lady win that mixed sort of things, number of different things she had to do, the yachts, you know, and there was some good gold. And you know what? When I talked to other sports people, you know what they said? Hey, we won. Hey, we won. We won gold. Now that's the same meaning for Jesus. Jesus was winning rolled gold grace for us at the cross. It's amazing. So we are able to say, we won. We won, because it was done on our behalf. Now, maybe some of those Aussies, and maybe some of the other, you know, with drug cheating and all that these days, sometimes you begin to wonder what they're on or whatever, how miraculous their speed was and everything else. But, you know, to watch Lynn for the Big Bash on the Big Bash League, you know, for Queensland, and then to watch their captain, which is the guy from New Zealand, and they both got about 75, 76, not last night, the night before, you know, and he hit one ball, the furthest ever been hit. And then watching the test match, Lorraine, I know you watch the test matches, what's the fast time bowler, what's his name? Stark. Stark hit 7 sixes out of or into the MCG, you know, 7 sixes, past our Queensland friend, what's his name, that played in Queensland, you know, and it doesn't matter. Andrew Simons, he actually surpassed the sixes, number of sixes that were hit in a test match, because you normally don't hit sixes at a test match all the time. And he hit 7 of them, and Australia came home, and we won. Oh, see, you're not excited about that, are you? All right. Are you excited that when Jesus was your representative for your sins, for your healing, for your success, for your good relationship, are you excited that we won at the cross? So these words, you know, for grace, for those of us that are understanding the cross, this is so exciting because, you know, you should know the truth and the truth will set you free. The thing is not just knowing it in there, it's actually really fully understanding what it's saying, fully understanding and embracing it. And this thing is so good for us. It's the best, you know, you can experience. You can get out your learner plates and throw them away and you say, man, I'm into grace and I'm driving with the Lord and I'm in the passenger seat. He's taken over and I'm experiencing wave after wave of grace. Oh, it's exciting. Okay, next. Now look what Psalm 23 says. So Psalm 23, how did I get onto all that sport away from grace? I don't know. Shows you what's in the heart comes out the mouth. Psalm 23. Now, Psalm 23 is the next verse of the triplet. Psalm 22, last verse said, it is finished. Psalm 23, verse 1 is the next verse. So verse 31 and verse 1 are in the same poem. And look what he says. The Lord to feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. So this is the position of rest. You see, it's not about us doing things to win. It's about us plugging into what has been done by Jesus to win. Hallelujah. So, I shall not lack. I'm resting. I'm going to talk about resting as I close. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'll sit there one more time. See, I'm a believer. I believe the word of God, what it says. I have no problem preaching this message. In fact, I get electrified by it, even if it is oppressive heat. Here we go. He refreshes and restores my life. How many want that in 2017? Refreshed and restored life and healing. I've experienced this healing. He restores my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, not for my earning it, but for his name, to his own namesake, who he is. Oh, I love it. Next slide. I'm nearly there. I realize now I can preach a good sermon and it can take half an hour. He leads us into rest. He leads me beside the still waters. I shall not lack as he leads me into rest, right? That we might experience, he leads us into rest, that we might experience the riches of his grace, Paul says in Ephesians. Rest finds grace. Now here's something I would encourage us, those of you in a church or if you're visitors, you might like to do and join us this year. Get yourself a small pocket diary. I'm going to buy one this week. I always wait till the prices come down, you know. I never buy my diary before the end of the year. I go down to Mount Omni in the first week and I'll duck down there before my holidays, you know, and I get myself a pocket diary and it's usually about half price. You know, a lot of people don't have calendars these days because you've got your mobile phone. You can see the day. Every day you can just check your phone. But a diary allows you to write something in. Look at me with my bald head. I give you something for this year. I give you something to do. This is like sharing favor time, but we don't have time for everybody to share. But I just want to say this. This year, and I'm going to put this letter because it came, you know, it came just before midnight. But I'm going to cheat. I'm going to put that in January the 1st. That email, right, about Thailand. Because if this keeps happening, I taught in Asia thousands and thousands of students, men and women, doctors, cabinet ministers. I was privileged to teach, before I knew grace, in 5 Bible schools right through Southeast Asia. Thousands and thousands of people, 2,500 a year. If this is a little trickle and it starts to come, there's going to be thousands of Asian people writing to me and say, Purse, can we be part of what you're doing? Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. I see like the first fruits. First student that's written to me and said, Percy, but there's a Grace Church in India that's written too. And he was one of our students and he hasn't got back to me. But this year, he wants us to go and speak to so many people up there. I am excited about preaching the truth. This is what I've got for you. Rest, releasing every situation to. R-E-S-T. Because when you rest and trust, by grace you're saved through faith. By grace you're saved through faith. As you rest and trust. Rest is a synonym of the word faith. It's actually in Hebrews, it says, Jesus has won our rest. We'll come to that. Okay, I'm nearly through here. His grace, releasing every situation to his grace. This morning, actively ask Jesus to lead you into rest in 2017. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. Release every situation to him. Turn over the page, and we've got the last slide. Turn over the page. Right. So then, Hebrews 4, 9 and 11. So then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. This is the key for experiencing grace every day, is to release every situation to Him. In your business, Eric, you know, just, you know, you have worries that I never have, you know, but I have worries that probably you don't have. It's true. Because of the nature of your job, because of the nature of your situations, you will have worries that I've never had and never will have. But then as a pastor in building churches and that, I can easily get into worry too. I can worry about manpower and what we do. I can worry about this. You know what? That's the time then when Jesus does nothing for us. When we are stressed, He is at rest. When we are at rest, He does the rest. Oh, I'd like to hear an amen for that, please. I'm telling you, because that's what I've found. That's what I've found in my life since I've come into grace. I am totally convinced that the gospel of grace is the only gospel we should preach. Amen? And so we will stay on track, and glory to God, there will be wonderful things happen this year. Let us run, hasten into the rest of God to know and experience it. The Bible says, experience it for ourselves. Shall we read this last verse, verse 11? Let us run, hasten into the rest of God to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience to which those in the wilderness fell. So this is the position. Sit with Jesus in the heavenly places. And when you do that, Jesus is able to action His plan for you and for you to experience salvation, soteria, in every area of your life. Let's stand and pray. We finish now. I'd like you to give all your, you know that Jesus has taken all your worries and cares and all that. He has actually bore them already. So thank God just for this year, 2017. Thank God that this will be the greatest year of your living. Some of you have had fabulous lives. Others have been bruised and beaten about. But I tell you what, just we're all just as loved by God. He loves us all. He calls us His beloved. So just lift your hands up. Even if you're not used to, lift your hands up and say, Jesus, I'm receiving abundant grace and going to be experiencing it 2017. Every day, all the way. And I'm going to say something now. You can say amen to that. Amen. Now I'm just going to say this. Remember, everyone, put something in a diary every day. Or just, it might be once a week it happens. That's better than nothing. And you'll find, as you know, as you rested in a situation and you saw God come in by His grace, the riches of His grace are so abundant, and touch you, then you write it down and say, wow, I got healed. Or wow, you rescued me in my finances. Or wow, you rescued my relationship. You rescued my marriage. You rescued me from sin. Sin no longer has dominion over me. 2017 be a year of complete victory over sin. Father, we can't do it by making promises. We can only do it through Your brilliant winning on our behalf. You have won the victor's crown. Glory to God. We thank You, Jesus. Let's give Him a hand for His wonderful, wonderful grace.